But like you said, for a middle school or high school student, like that's the furthest thing from your mind. I just wanted to eat like Pop-Tarts for breakfast and like goldfish at lunch every day.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 261, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, real quick before we get started today, just want to remind you or possibly let you know for the first time that each and every month I do a drawing for a free training plan, you know, a 100% custom training plan to help you get to the finish line of whatever race it is that you choose that you would like me to help you train for. All you need to do to enter to win that is head over to just to the homepage of the website, dizruns.com. And if you're on the go right now, if you just tap the album artwork in whatever podcast listener that you might be listening to this on, whether it's iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, whatever, Google Play, all those places, just tap the artwork and it should pop up some options. And if you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see sign up for or enter to win a free 16-week training program. Or again, just head over to dizruns.com if you're on the website and click the link. It'll take about 2 seconds. You enter your name and your email address and you're all signed up. And then each month I do a giveaway, just a random number generator. Hopefully the generator will smile on you this month. But if it doesn't, you're also automatically re-entered. So all you gotta do is enter once and you're all set. So head over to dizruns.com if you haven't done so already and sign up. You got nothing to lose and you got a chance to win each and every month. So with that, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today I'm talking about something that all of us runners know a thing or two about, and that is being hungry. My guest today has been an athlete for most of her life, and she has seen firsthand the role that food plays on health and athletic performance. She's been blogging about healthy eating and the importance of forming a healthy relationship with food for a number of years now, and I'm looking forward to picking up a few tips on eating better today with Miss Katie Rosenbrock. Welcome to the show, Katie.
Hi, thank you.
And guys, if you want to check out our website with lots of great resources on food stuff and other stuff, I mean, just all kinds of health and fitness and exercises and just a wealth of knowledge, head over to hungry-runner.com. And if you're on Facebook or Instagram, you want to connect with her there, you can find her at hungryrunner, and on Twitter, she's at hungry_runner. And I'll have all those links and links to anything else that we happen to talk about over the course of today's conversation in the show notes for today's episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/261. So Katie, the way we always get things started on the show is to ask a very simple question that sometimes has a very simple answer. And sometimes it is something that gets a little bit more convoluted and twisted, but it at least gives us a place to start from. And that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Sure. If I have to pick one, it would be the half marathon, 13.1 miles. I've only done one marathon before and it was pretty tough. I'm doing another one this year, so I'm kind of excited to see if it might become my favorite distance. But for right now, I've done I think 6 or 7 half marathons, and it's definitely where I feel the most comfortable racing and where I have the most fun, because usually half marathon courses are lined with tons of cheering fans and have exciting routes. So I've definitely found they are the most fun so far.
Gotcha. What was the one marathon that you did?
The New York City Marathon, which is the same one I'm doing again this year.
Gotcha. Well, from what I hear, I've never done New York, but from what I hear, that's a course that's lined with cheering fans the entire way pretty well too.
Oh yes, it is super fun. I highly recommend it for anyone who wants to run a marathon, especially for your first one. Because when I was first thinking of running a marathon, I was thinking of signing up for the Long Island Marathon, which is a great race. I've run the half marathon before, but it doesn't have as many fans. There are parts of the course where it's a little quiet. You're on a highway. There's not as many people. So if it's for your first marathon, someone was saying, you know, it's not the most motivational, you might want to wait and do something that's a little bit more fun. So I waited and I did the New York City Marathon, and I'm really glad that I did for my first one, because it definitely helped to have all those fans cheering and just the energy of the city, and everyone gets so excited about Marathon Day here in New York.
Gotcha. Even though, yeah, I mean, obviously it still is, at least it sounds like it's a positive memory, even though it was tough. What was, I mean, I think everybody that's run a marathon, you know, can identify with that first one being a struggle, but what for you was it just the distance? Was it unknown of, you know, I'm assuming that probably your training was 20 or 22 miles, something like that, and then just extending it farther, or you know, do you have any idea what the challenge was, other than just the obvious 26.2 miles of the challenge?
Yes. Well, it's funny that you say that, because for my first marathon in training, I ended up getting sick twice with the flu, which did not help my training at all, obviously. No. So I got sick in like the peak week of training, when I was supposed to do my 20 mile run, and I had to miss it. And then at that point, you know, it was a few weeks out from the race, and I was just being advised, you know, just do the rest of your plan, how you're planning to do it. Don't worry about like trying to make up all these missed miles, because you'll probably just either get sick again or get injured. So I kind of just went from there, and I never really got to do the full training and really get my body up to that point where it knew what like an 18, 19, 20 mile run felt like. So the day of the marathon, the farthest I had ever run was, I think, 14 or 15 miles.
Oh, man.
So I did another 10 miles more than I'd ever done that day. So mentally, that was obviously very challenging. Mm-hmm. And then physically, I just wasn't entirely prepared for it. But like I said, the crowd and just the excitement of the day really pushed me through. I had to stop and walk a few times. But it all worked out in the end, and I'm super proud that I finished, but I'm excited this training cycle to really see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that I finally have found somebody who I can share company with as far as first marathon foolishness. Although for me, it was just, I was dumb and foolish and didn't really, like, I wasn't any type of runner before, and I just randomly signed up for a marathon, and the longest training that I had done was about 14 miles as well. And it wasn't because I had a good excuse. Like, I was on a better plan and I got sick a couple times and it screwed everything up. It was just like, you know, if I can run 14 miles, like, what's another, like, that's more than halfway. Like, I can do the whole thing.
Right.
And yeah, it was that last 10 miles was a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly how I would describe it. A very painful disaster.
Did you also share my experience of getting, you know, to the finish line and saying there's no way I'll ever do this again? Or was it something that you were still open to the possibility immediately after the race?
I think you know what, that's a funny question also, because I think as I was training, and you know, in training it's mentally really tough too, and you're like, why, you know, you get to the point where you're like, why did I sign up for this? What am I doing? And at that point, I think there was one like time when I said to my boyfriend, do not ever let me do this again. I'm never doing this again. And then when I crossed the finish line, I was like, okay, when's the next one? Right. Which I think is very typical of many runners.
Yeah. From about mile 20 to 24, it was the most miserable. Like, I will, like, I just want to stop. Like, I don't even want it, but the car was towards the finish line. So you had to get back to the finish line.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, afterwards I said, there's no way, like, no, I'm done. And then, and probably for me, it was 3 or 4 months. And then it was the peer pressure. Cause I ran, the Disney was my first marathon, the Disney
Ooh,
marathon.
That's fun.
And living in Central Florida, like, there's lots of people that are around that typically run that race. And so I had a lot of other friends and stuff that were like, yeah, you're going to run Disney next year again, right? And I was like, yeah, no. And then, you know, peer pressure gets the better of you, and you sign up again and try to learn from your mistakes and do a little bit better the next time, which that's a whole nother story for another day. But so for you, obviously you're planning on doing it again. Is it this year that you're doing New York, or this fall?
Yes, this fall I got it through the lottery, so I'm very excited.
Fantastic. Well, just don't get sick in the build up this time, and it'll be a little different experience for you.
Exactly. And then one of the things, looking back on the training last time, I think I wasn't I wasn't paying enough attention to my nutrition, which is probably why I got sick. And so this time around, I'm really going to be focusing on not only my training and the miles that I'm running, but my diet as well.
Let's dive into the food topic with that little lead in right there, because I think that's something that is something that is easy enough to happen. You know, we focus on the miles, we focus on getting our training in, and maybe, you know, if we're really being good about sticking to our plans, we focus on making sure we're getting some strength training in and some stretching or some yoga or some foam rolling, something to kind of help you know, with the recovery from the physical side of things. But I think, and I think I've seen this, and I think I've probably been guilty of this, but certainly on social media, I've seen, you know, where it's like, hey, I'm in marathon training and I can eat whatever I want and, you know, just crush it longer, you know, 20 miles this morning. Now I can go, you know, have whatever big breakfast or junk or donuts or, you know, just whatever, which in moderation, you know, whatever, like that can be okay. But when that's the main fueling source, that can pose a problem. So, let's just dive in. What do you think you did wrong looking back on it from a fueling standpoint as far as nutrition and recovery and whatnot in that buildup that may have led to the sickness?
Sure. Well, I think you just hit it right on the head. I was in the complete mindset that I can eat whatever I want, which made me very happy. And you're right. You know, you can go have a donut or, you know, a few slices of pizza or whatever every once in a while. In moderation, it's fine. But I think I wasn't paying attention to the other specific nutrients that my body needed. So yeah, I was, you know, I was eating enough protein probably and enough carbohydrates, but I probably wasn't focusing on vegetables and greens, the things that give your body, you know, the minerals and micronutrients that you need to, you know, fend off illness and, you know, which is probably why I got sick, you know, keeping your immune system boosted at the same time.
Yeah. It's something that I think is easy to overlook. And maybe part of it, and I'd love to get your opinion on this. Could it be that maybe we, in this modern world that we live in, where it's the focus, I think sometimes with nutrition and food and, you know, not even from a running perspective, but also from a running perspective is strictly calories, you know, how many calories, as opposed to looking at nutrient density and quality of nutrients and things like that in our food?
Absolutely. It's funny that you say that. I was just thinking, I was at the gym this morning and, you know, this time of year, you always see like, oh, get in shape for summer, workout. And it brings on like that mindset of, you know, your workout is burning calories. It's all about burning calories, 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 calories. And I was thinking about when I used to swim in high school and I would swim for 2 hours a day every day. And never once did I ever think about how many calories I was burning in the workout or how many I was eating afterwards. And swimming makes you just as hungry as running. And I just thought it popped into my head and I thought it was a funny thought because now even sometimes still I think about, oh, how many calories am I burning while I'm running? How many calories am I eating afterwards? So yeah, I think that is like a little bit of a problem with the way that we look at our diets, and there does need to be more of a focus on the nutrients and what's on your plate and is it a balanced meal?
And obviously there's tons of different definitions and I'd love to get your take on it, but what does a balanced meal look like for you? You know, what's your kind of strategy for yourself when it comes to eating healthily and nutritionally balanced type of foods?
Sure. So what I've learned through working in the fitness industry for a little while and my own research and also having the opportunity to work with some nutritionists and whatnot, because I'm not a nutritionist, so I'm not, you know, an expert on this. But what I've learned is you do want to fill, one nutritionist told me, half of your plate with veggies for almost every meal, which is, that's really hard to do. But since she's told me that, I do try to include at least one veggie in every meal. So if I'm having scrambled eggs in the morning, I'll mix in some spinach. Usually I have a salad for lunch, so it's not hard to get veggies in there, you know, tomatoes, cucumbers, those kinds of things. And then at dinner, I just always make sure there's at least one veggie whether that's a side of Brussels sprouts or broccoli, asparagus. Mm. So it does, it takes some experimenting with new vegetables that you've never tried before, for someone who's not eating vegetables a lot. But I always do remember that she said, you know, half of your plate should be veggies. And then, of course, you need some carbohydrates, especially if you're running a lot. So for me, that would be brown rice, whole grain bread, oatmeal, those kinds of things. You want to look for the more nutritious carbohydrates. So also fruits and vegetables instead of, you know, refined grains like white bread. And then, of course, protein is super important, too. So I like fish a lot. I try to reduce the amount of meat that I eat, but I'm not vegetarian. So a lot of times for me, dinner is salmon or cod, mahi-mahi. And really, it's just about, you know, balancing all three of those things in every single meal.
So what I'm hearing is that it's the stuff that we know. It's just a matter of putting it into practice. Like, we know that we need to eat, most of us probably at least know we need to eat more vegetables, that stuff is good for us, and you know, some of the more treats type of stuff in moderation, and instead of worrying about trying to get all your vegetables at once, like, get them throughout the day. And I mean, just like, I feel like that's, it's common sense, but and I'm certainly not preaching at the choir here. Like, I'm just as guilty. Like, it's tough. We go for the things that are easy, that are more convenient, that take less preparation sometimes. And it's a struggle. What have you, at least for me, you know, like, that's a big part of the struggle is having things that I can grab on the go between appointments, between phone calls, between runs and all the other things in life. Are there things that you do that helps to, make it easier, make it more convenient to prevent that from being an excuse that gets in the way of eating well?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It is hard. I mean, I feel like I've been doing, like, the whole health and fitness thing, running. I was a personal trainer for a little while, for 5, 6, maybe even 7 years now. And it's still hard. Like, it's always a struggle, like you said, putting it into practice, because it's about building healthy habits and really integrating these things into your life. And even when you do, there are always temptations and things that, you know, are calling your attention that, you know, aren't that great for you, and you should probably go for the other thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to choose. But for on the go and easy things, after my runs, I usually do either a protein shake if it was a really long run, and I use a plant-based protein, or I use like an electrolyte drink also after long runs, because that's important for refueling after, you know, if, I don't know if you've ever noticed, after a run, your skin is like a little salty. You need to replace all those electrolytes. So yeah, in terms of like easy things for on the go, one of my big things is that almost every day I pack my lunch for work, so I'm not tempted to go out, because I find when I go out to eat, it's hard for me, even if the menu has healthy options, it's hard for me to choose that option when there are so many other things calling my name that probably aren't as great.
Yeah, I think packing, and I mean, I guess that's kind of where I know, and I don't always fall in line or do it right, but having those things prepared. So like I'm just like you, if I'm going out, like, you know, when I don't have a day job necessarily anymore, but when I did, like, I brought my lunch every day, because there was no, it was A, it was cheaper, B, it was healthier, and C, it made it a whole lot easier to not, you know, make those, you know, try to have to make the choice when you're at the counter and trying to order something. But then I still struggle now being at home of prepping things and having things ready to grab throughout the day, and I don't want to take time to cook, so then it's like, all right, what can I grab? And it's maybe not the worst choices, but it's certainly not the best choices as well. What areas do you struggle with? What are some of the whether it's during training or whether it's not during training, when it comes to food, and you know, I'm assuming that, you know, you kind of said it can still be a struggle. Are there any examples of things that are really still a work in progress for you?
Yes, definitely. The first one off the top of my head is that in my office, we have these huge jugs of pretzels, and they're peanut butter filled. And I know that the peanut butter inside them is not real peanut butter. It's like the fake kind. And they are so hard to resist. And I know that I shouldn't have them every day, but I always go for them because they're sitting there. So what I've been working on is I pack my lunch every day, except for on Fridays. My office is nice enough to give us free lunch, which usually isn't the healthiest option either, but that I count that as like, you know, one of my, some people would call it like a cheat meal. I don't really like calling it that, but just as a, just to explain it simply. But yeah, those pretzels really get me. So I'm working on packing more snacks so that when I'm hungry in between meals, I can go for that instead of turning to the pretzels, which I can have, you know, it's okay if you have them every once in a while, but when it becomes a habit every day, you know, that's when things like that start to become, you know, they can bring down your training, or if you have weight loss goals or something like that, that's when it becomes, you know, a little bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. So what I've been doing is I have a greens blend drink that I just, it's powder, you put it into a shaker bottle, you mix it with water, and you shake it up, and it's a berry flavored. So I've tried tons of different greens blends before, and they tend to have like a grassy, weird flavor, which some people I guess might like, but that's not for me.
Or they just power through it and not necessarily like it.
Exactly. Yeah, I've done that with a few different supplements before too, thinking, oh, this is good for me, so I'm just going to suffer through it. But this one actually tastes good. And I really like it for an in-between meal. Like sometimes at work, I'm bored and I go for the pretzels. Mm. So that's another struggle for me. So if I'm feeling bored or like just a little bit hungry before I'm going home to make dinner, I'll have the greens, and it's an easy extra serving of vegetables, and it tastes good. And then it kind of gets my mind off of that, like, oh my gosh, I really want pretzels or like a piece of chocolate right now.
Yeah, I think that's the key for me at least too, is having, again, trying to plan ahead to have a few things that I can grab instead of grabbing, you know, we've got a almost 2-year-old, so there's always some animal crackers or things like that that mm-hmm. aren't the greatest, but something that she can chew on a little bit. And it's like, man, it's real easy to just grab a couple handfuls of those or some goldfish crackers or things like that instead of some carrot sticks or some celery sticks or something like that. And just that temptation sometimes gets you.
Exactly. We have goldfish in the office too, and those are my favorite. And I'm like, I can't have them every single day.
Yeah, well, if you could only have like two, it wouldn't be a big deal. But
you could never do that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You're too good.
Blasting back into the rearview mirror a little bit, you mentioned that you were a swimmer growing up. It was part of that you were able to kind of pretty much eat and not worry about calories and not worry about, you know, necessarily the quote nutrition things, which, I mean, I think probably most, you know, middle school, high school age type of kids, and especially athletes that are burning through the fuel and able to eat whatever they want and never having any issues, you know, probably don't think a lot about that. Where did the food kind of passion, where did the focus towards looking at how food impacts athletic performance and just overall health start to sit in for you and take place?
Sure. Yeah, it's funny when I think back to swimming, how I never once thought about that. And I almost wish, I think my coaches tried to, you know, integrate it. I remember them giving us like a binder of nutrition, like tips and stuff for athletes once. But like you said, for a middle school or high school student, like that's the furthest thing from your mind. I just wanted to eat like Pop-Tarts for breakfast and like goldfish at lunch every day. So I never, it really never crossed my mind, and I didn't think about it until after I graduated college. Because in college was when I gained weight. I stopped swimming and I was still exercising, probably not as much as I should have been, but I was still exercising. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't lose all this weight I gained in freshman year. I was a typical college freshman. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize until afterwards. I graduated college, I got my first job, and then I eventually got into personal training because I signed up to work with a personal trainer so I could finally figure out like how to lose this college weight. That was like my last resort. And he introduced like, you know, it's not just your working out
right.
that is going to affect this. It's also your diet. And then I got really into health and fitness and learning all about this from that point. And I started reading all about nutrition and I was like, wow, this has a huge effect on your body as well. And then I started running and I guess it kind of just happened naturally for me just through reading and my own curiosity and wanting to know more about nutrition. And then once I started, once I did my first half marathon and I started really getting into running, I knew that I needed to know how to fuel properly if I wanted to continue running at that level.
Mm-hmm. What are a few things that that whether they're stereotypical or whether they're things that you've seen, you know, specifically with other folks or whatnot, but that that we as runners, from the research and the things that, that you've learned, and for lack of a better way of saying it, do wrong. So for example, like, you know, things that are maybe myths or, you know, kind of just accepted as truths, but then, you know, as more research gets done and more kind of studying or we just learn more, it's kind of like, well, maybe there's really no basis to that. Maybe it's, you know, neither good nor bad. Maybe it's bad, but we just keep, you know, again, we as the running population in general keep doing because we think that it's what's always been done and it's the best practice.
That's a good question. Well, I think you definitely made me think of, again, you know, I'm running and I'm exercising a lot so I can eat as much as I want or anything that I want. I definitely made that mistake in the beginning and I think a lot of runners do. And then start to wonder, you know, if they had weight loss goals or even just goals of training well and maintaining their weight, wondering why they're not seeing results or why they're gaining weight. Because I've noticed a few times when I've done the longer distance races and the training, I'm thinking, oh, okay, this will be a good time for me to like lose a little bit of weight, but then I end up either just maintaining or even gaining a little bit, which is, it's not a big deal. But I think that it is a myth kind of that, you know, training for a marathon or a half marathon is like an automatic good way to lose weight, because for some people it might not be.
Right. Well, and I've seen several articles talking about how, you know, I mean, and it's kind of stuff that we've been touching on throughout the whole, you know, last half an hour or so, but it's all just, you know, because you're running a lot doesn't mean that you can just get away with eating as much of whatever you want. Like it's something that, again, I think, you know, whether you want to call it a myth or just a something where you're not thinking all about it, like it makes sense. Like you're just not, you know, yes, you're running 10 miles, 12 miles, whatever. That doesn't mean you can just go crazy with thousands and thousands and thousands of calories. Although again, it all doesn't boil down to calories, but on a simple level, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there anything else? I mean, one of the things that I've kind of come to, change my mind about, and I'd love to get your take on, is the pre-race kind of pasta carb loading type of dinner. Where do you stand on that? Good idea, bad idea, indifferent, or something else?
Sure. So, I think what I've learned is I definitely used to think, that, you know, just a huge bowl of pasta before your race, was the best way to fuel up for a long distance race the next day. I also used to think that in swimming, I think a lot of the times our coaches used to tell us like we used to have actually pasta parties before like our big meets. But what I've learned, I follow, you know, some of the more elite runners. And one time I saw, you know, their pre-race dinner was some salmon, a big salad, and maybe like a serving of brown rice. And of course, you know, carbohydrates are important, but what I've seemed to learn is that, again, it goes back to, you know, the balance of all the nutrients. So yes, you do need to carbo load, I guess if you want to call it that. But from what I've learned is that it should be done over, you know, the period, like a period of time. So eating more carbohydrates the week before your race, instead of just loading them all into one meal the night before.
Right, right. And then, you know, and not only does that give your body a chance to kind of process more, you know, over the course of, or process better maybe over the course of a week instead of dumping a whole bunch of it on it at one time. But then there's also that, there's always that risk when you have that big meal the night before, especially for an early morning race, that, you know, what goes in has to come out, and that can always be a little bit less than enjoyable if that happens during the early part of a race.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm always very, very conscious of that. I have a sensitive stomach, especially when it comes to running. And I know that's a big issue for a lot of runners. I think I did an article once. I used to write for a health and fitness website, you know, how to eliminate, you know, GI distress from running. And one of the tips, I think, was to, you know, pay attention to your, you know, everything that you're eating during training, because that's kind of your testing ground for, you know, what works, what upsets your stomach, what doesn't. And then, you know, the night before the race, you'll know exactly what to eat, and you'll know that it's not going to upset your stomach. And, I mean, just in general, my own personal preference, I don't want to eat like a huge heavy meal the night before a race and then have my stomach feeling weighed down for a long time afterwards.
Yeah. And that what you just said about using that, those training runs as your trial for what to eat, you know, it's something that I guess I've thought of that, but I don't know that I've ever really heard it said that way. But we hear so many times of, like, you know, never wear a new pair of shoes, never wear new, you know, don't use anything new on race day that you haven't tried during your training. Yet the only time most people do these big pasta carb loading dinners is the night before a race. Never, or, you know, not as often, or at least you don't hear about it as often before a random long run or a random, you know, whatever other things. But by God, we've already tried our shoes. We've already tried our shorts. We've already tried our shoes and our belt and all the, you know, all the other things that, that you goes into to trial and error, but, not always the food component. And that's an important thing, I think, to just make sure to point out and to remember to use your training runs for not only the physical training, but also the nutrition training as well.
Absolutely. I started actually writing down everything, not everything, so not every single thing that I was eating, but what I was eating, you know, before my longer training runs and also afterwards, so that I could make notes and say, okay, this upset my stomach. I'm not going to be eating that before the race, but this did work. That way I knew for sure. And I didn't have to even like think back and be like, was that the right thing to eat? So yeah, I think that is a really important training tip that I only just recently learned, but would highly recommend to anyone preparing for a long distance race.
Yeah, definitely. You know, speaking of having a sensitive stomach, what things seem to bother you? And, you know, for, and like you said, there's plenty of people that have stomach issues and sensitive stomachs when it comes to running. If they're struggling to try to figure out maybe what's bothering them, what are the things that you found that bother you? And maybe that'll give them at least a place to try to, you know, eliminate this or change this or whatever that you found that works for you.
Sure. Definitely dairy. I know that's a big, you know, that's a thing for a lot of people. But I cannot eat anything dairy. Even the night before a long run, like usually I want to have like ice cream or something and I just can't. That definitely gives me some GI distress. What I've found that works is just like plain simple things. A piece of toast with peanut butter. Sugar definitely distresses my stomach. I can't do that before a long run. So even if it's like I would love to do like peanut butter toast with peanut butter and like a natural fruit spread, but even though they're like natural sugars, they're not added sugar, and then even a lot of things like that have even some added sugar that tends to upset my stomach. So I try to stay away from sugary things. It seems to be more like fruity sugars, because I know the fruit spreads, that is a no-go for me, but like toast or like a brown rice cake is fine. Banana, I don't think I can do just a banana, but if I pair the banana with peanut butter, that works. I've heard that, you know, pairing a carb with a protein slows the release of those carbohydrates going into your bloodstream. So that seems to work the best for me. But yeah, for me, it's just been a trial and error and then writing down what works and sticking with that.
Well, and that's the key right there is being willing to try different things, and figure out what works best for you, because obviously, you know, what works for you may not work for everybody else that's listening, but you don't find out what is your best, you know, best meals or best pre-race type of things and sits well with you and provides you the energy that you need, unless you're willing to try different things. And once you find what works, then you kind of stick with it a little bit and you know, and then you're more or less good to go, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. That, what you just said is exactly what I would recommend to anyone. You know, what works for one person could be completely wrong for someone else. So you need to try and keep notes about what works for you, because everyone is completely different. And I thought of one other thing that tends to upset my stomach is, I have to do water on my long runs. I can't, like I said, the sugar.
Yeah.
So even if it's like Gatorade or something that you're like, you would think you're supposed to drink during your long runs, I can't do that. I've done plenty of races where I'm like, oh, I need some Gatorade, and I go along the course and I do Gatorade a few times, and it wrecks havoc on my stomach. So that's another thing to keep in mind. But like you said, it really is trial and error. And you just have to find out what works right for you.
Right. So shifting gears a little bit, looking at the blog, which is, I mean, it's a great, like I said, in the intro, great resource, great thing for people to check out. What was it that was the impetus to start in Hungry Runner for you?
It was originally, so like I said before, in college, I gained some weight, not a ton, but it was frustrating for me having always been an athlete and, you know, feeling out of shape and like I couldn't work out at the level that I used to before. So that was really frustrating for me. And I couldn't, college was just, there was too much going on for like exercise and nutrition to become a priority for me. Cause what I recently came upon was, you know, when you want to get in shape or if you have fitness goals, like it has to be a priority. And at school, I was focused on my work. I was on the newspaper. I was really into that. It wasn't a priority for me. Priority for me at the time. So after I graduated and I decided, okay, I want this to be a priority now. I've always been a writer, so it was just natural for me to like kind of start an online journal about, you know, my weight loss goals. And at the same time, I have just been getting into running. So it kind of just evolved naturally into like a weight loss diary, I guess, and then a tracking of my progress as a runner. And it kind of took off more than I had expected it to. And I just found that I really enjoyed, you know, writing about running and fitness and nutrition. So it was a pretty natural thing for me to just keep it going.
Gotcha. I'm assuming that you do, but do you get lots of great feedback from the listener or the readers of your blog?
I do. I get a lot, you know, and it makes me so happy when people say like, oh, what you wrote today, like really motivated me to start running again or to, you know, even just get out the door for my run today. And like, that's the best thing for me is because, while I did start it as like kind of a personal thing, you know, for me to keep track of my own progress, what has really made me happy is that it has helped other people who were in the same situation as me or who just want to learn about running and how to get started. Because getting started as a runner is definitely not easy. So yeah, I do get feedback like that, and it makes me really, really happy when I hear someone say, you know, you helped me with this, or you motivated me to, you know, exercise today, things like that.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, and I don't know how it is for you, but I know for me, it's, you know, you keep putting this stuff out there and, you know, you get some feedback every once fairly regularly of like, hey, I like this interview. I like this post you did, yada, yada, yada. And then every once in a while you get those ones where somebody really just kind of, opens up and, you know, something that you didn't even realize that you maybe had mentioned or, you know, it was kind of more of a passing thought or a passing comment, really just iterates with that one person and makes all the difference and really just kind of keeps the wind in your sails to keep doing it and keep moving forward and keep just, you know, just fighting the good fight, for lack of a better way of saying it.
Yes, absolutely. I was so excited because the other week, you know, sometimes, like you just said, you know, you get occasional comments here and there and, but sometimes it can feel like, well, for me personally, you know, I'm blogging, like, is anyone listening? Mm-hmm. And I know that people are, but the other week I got an email from a girl from Australia. And so, you know, you forget that, like, all of these people are following you. And she said, I'm going to be in New York City and I don't want to run alone. Would you want to go for a run with me? And I was like, yeah, of course. So I got to meet a reader from Australia and we got to run together. And then, of course, anytime, this is what I found, you meet up with another runner, it's like you've been friends for 20 years and you just go for a run and you have an amazing conversation. And it was like that. And that was really, really cool for me.
Yeah, that's the exact idea behind what I'm doing, you know, is just chatting and talking running. And sometimes we only talk running and sometimes we talk food and sometimes we talk work and sometimes we talk family. You just kind of let it go. But those conversations, when they're not forced, are just so, so interesting. And so it's just it like you said, I mean, it's like you've been friends forever, even though you just met, you know, a few miles ago.
Exactly. And that always amazes me.
Yeah, definitely. So as we're kind of getting close to wrapping things up today, Katie, what does the future look like for you? Obviously you got New York later this fall. Do you have any big goal type of races or bucket list type of races or just kind of taking it as it comes?
Oh yes. Well, I'm definitely taking it as it comes, one race at a time, but one day I definitely do want to run the Boston Marathon. Mm. We'll see if a qualifying time ever gets me in, but I imagine I'll probably end up doing it through a charity, which I would be more than happy to do. Mm-hmm. And one of my other bucket list races is the Vancouver. Is it the Vancouver Marathon? Like I said, I used to write for a health and fitness website, and we did a bunch of roundups of, you know, the best races around the world. And I got to talk to the race director of the Vancouver Marathon and she totally sold me on it. And then I was looking at pictures and it's a beautiful, beautiful course. So that's on my list as well.
Yeah. I've heard a couple people that have, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, wherever, different places, but never heard anything bad about Vancouver. I haven't really looked into it very much, but everybody says exactly what you said, that it is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, that's what I see from the internet. So I hope to get there in real life one day.
Well, and like we all know, if it's on the internet, it has to be true. So if it looks pretty
absolutely
on the internet, it's 100%. So kind of wrapping things up, this can be a kind of a tough question. Something that I've been starting to ask a little bit more recently, because I think it's very open-ended and we'll just see what happens. If it lands with a thud, it lands with a thud. If it takes us somewhere, that's fine too. But what does running mean to you now? You know, when you think of running, when you think of going for a run, or just, you know, just running in general, kind of what comes to mind? What continues to keep you coming back for more miles and more races and things like that?
Oh, wow. I would just say happiness. It makes me happy to go out for a run, especially if the weather's nice out and I'm just going for, you know, to enjoy it and I'm not really training for anything. You know, training is fun, but I found recently one day I went out without my watch. I wasn't worried about tracking how many miles I was running. I didn't care about my pace. I was just enjoying. It was a really nice day. I was just enjoying the weather. And to me, that's like what makes me happy. So that's kind of what running boils down to. And I try to remember that when I am in training and, you know, I'm supposed to be doing these miles, you know, to reach this goal. And when it gets tough to stay motivated, that's what I think about, you know, it boils down to the reason why I love running, which I think is funny because I used to hate running. But once I got past that point of building up to the endurance where it actually feels good and you get those endorphins, you know, and you're not getting shin splints every day. it's fun and it makes me happy.
That's fantastic. That's why I love asking that type of, and I said, I just started asking these kind of philosophical questions towards the end recently, but you know, it's just one of those things that yes, you're 100% right. It's fun and it makes us happy. And that's, I mean, you know, I don't know what we'd keep doing it if it didn't. So it makes perfect sense. And I think that's a great way to wrap things up.
Yep, for sure.
So once again, guys, hungry-runner.com. I have links to all of our social media places. Again, Facebook and Instagram are just at Hungry Runner. And Twitter is at hungry_runner. And all the links to everything will be disruns.com/261 for today. So Katie, thanks for taking the time today. Thanks for hopefully, you know, just kind of shining the light on the role that that what we eat has to play in our training, and especially if you're, you know, if you have weight loss goals attached to it or performance goals, if you're striving for that Boston qualifier or a new PR, things like that, addressing the food choices that you're making in the buildup is every bit as important as making sure you've got the right plan and following it. You know, so I think it's an important thing to talk about, and I'm glad we were able to spend a little bit of time today. Bringing light to a subject that needs more light shined upon it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. And I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Katie and myself. As always, I'd love to know what you think about the show and maybe what stood out to you from today's conversation. And I'll go ahead and get that started right now. For me, the takeaway from this episode is just the reminder that we need to worry about what we're eating all of the time. You know, again, we don't have to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect, but trying to make, you know, most of the time good decisions, making most of the time the healthier choices and looking more at the nutrient density than the calorie count is a great first place to start. You know, there's so many things we talked about. You know, adding more vegetables is maybe one of the biggest, but just, you know, making smarter choices most of the time is going to help us, you know, and like I mentioned in a quick tip episode not too long ago, you know, what we eat on a random Tuesday has as much impact or can have as much impact on how we feel and how we perform on race day than what we eat the night before and what we use to fuel during the race, because it's going to impact our training. It's going to impact our overall health. And you know, as Katie mentioned at the beginning of the episode, when she was sick a couple times during her marathon training, like that obviously played a very detrimental role. And so maybe that random Tuesday eating healthier could have made a difference. You know, who knows? There's no way to know. But what I do know is that the healthier you eat, the better foods that you eat, the higher quality foods that you eat, you know, the better you're going to feel, the healthier your body's going to be, and the more you're going to be able to respond to your training. I mean, it's as simple as that. So that's what stood out to me, just the overall importance of eating well on a consistent basis. You know, it's not always the most fun thing to have more vegetables, but by God, it pays off. So that's my takeaway, and I'd love to hear what it was for you. What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/261, and leave a comment there with your feedback. And that way, you know, whenever anybody finds this show weeks, months, years from now, they can also join into the conversation and find out, you know, what your thoughts were, what your takeaways are, and maybe that'll spur something in their mind as well to kind of reanalyze or relook at what they thought, and you know, it sparks conversation, which is the ultimate goal of the comment section of the show notes. So with that, thank you guys for listening so much. I do appreciate it. If you haven't signed up for that free training plan giveaway yet, what are you waiting for? You know, disruns.com. Or the show notes or the album information on your podcast player. It's accessible in all those places. Just click the link. Takes about 2 seconds and you're signed up to win. And you can't win if you're not in. So go ahead and get signed up for that. And I'll go ahead and stop rambling for today. Thank you guys for listening. I do appreciate it. I can't express it better than that, but I hope you know that from the bottom of my heart, appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to the show. It means a lot. And hope to be able to talk to you again soon. if you keep coming back for more. So with that, have a great rest of the day, guys, and we'll talk to you soon.